Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Development here in year number one. But we'll get back to that. Let's talk to your colleague over at NBC Sports Chicago, our friend Casey Johnson, who joins us right now on 670 The Score. Casey, what's up? Say hello to David Haw and say hello to Kendall Gill.
I know
you don't see him that much. You don't see Kendall. Well, I understand.
Happy All-Star Weekend, gentlemen.
Hey, Casey, what's happening, man?
Happy, Casey. You enjoying it? This is, you know, this town has been looking forward to it for a long time. And aside from where the Bulls are as an organization, it's pretty amazing to have NBA royalty of every level here in this town. How's it been so far for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've covered a lot of these. It's obviously cool to have it in your hometown and in your city. And, you know, the United Center is all dressed up to the nines. And obviously, Chicago is a great city to host. So there have been more and more of these, you know, league-wide events here. The draft lotteries moves here. The combine's here every year. So, you know, Chicago has kind of been the epicenter other times. But this is one of the crown jewels. This is where the league kind of shows off and puts on a party. So it's going to be fun.
Unfortunately, KC, it's not without its incidents this morning. I don't know if you saw or not, but during a taping of during the live show, First Take on ESPN, some Bulls fans started chanting when Zach LaVine was being interviewed, and it was fire gar packs, and it created a scene, and just wondered if you saw that and what your reaction was to it.
I mean, look, I do a mailbag did it for many, many years at the Tribune, and now do it at NBCSportsChicago.com. I've been getting fire gar packs letters for multiple years, so I mean, that sentiment has been out there for a long time. Obviously, that's, you know, not a great look for the organization as they prepare to host All-Star Weekend. It shows the level to which the fans, you know, want to win. And I can just say that having been around the Reinsdorfs and John and Gar, that they want to win as badly too. Right now, they're obviously struggling to do so. And the rebuild this year in particular has kind of lost some momentum with all the injuries and the publicly stated intentions to take the next step that have fallen short. And I, you know, like a lot of people, I assume things will be addressed this offseason. I think this will be a very important offseason for this organization. And, you know, it's obviously been a very underwhelming season on all accounts.
All right, Casey, we're back here at the shop. It's Chris Tannehill. We have a little line issue right now, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the guys at Bandit on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hi, we were having some technical difficulties at Eric Carroll.
Technical difficulties, indeed, but that doesn't stop us.
That's
on
right.
An All-Star Weekend. We refuse to be stopped. We are the McNeil and Parkins Show with Matt Spiegel, David Haw, and Kendall Gill hanging out with you here at 841 West Randolph. Bandit is where we are on the back patio. Thank you to Budweiser for having us here. Come by and have a beer. Casey Johnson was talking with us and will resume talking with us right now from NBC Sports Chicago. Casey, thanks for hanging with us. And we were talking about that incident this morning on First Take, and we know what it means. We know what it stands for. I wondered, KC, if seeing themselves as having a moment like that, so embarrassing on national media, if that would have any impact, you think, on the mindset of Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf, if anything like that would feel embarrassing to them if they saw that live or got wind of it today.
I mean, it didn't. I guess I would answer that this way, Matt. It didn't take that to be where they're at. I mean, this has been an underwhelming season by all accounts, you know, especially with their publicly stated intentions that the rebuild was going to take the next step this year. So they've been injured. They've been victory challenged. They've had dropping attendance figures. I mean, obviously, this was not an incident that's good for the organization on any level, but I mean, it didn't take that to already have them on alert and ready to, you know, look at all aspects of the organization this summer. I think basically every person, every beat writer, everyone who's spent time around the organization has hinted that, you know, it's likely the changes are coming. What those changes are, they don't know yet. Nothing's been decided yet, but look, when you have a rebuild that you kind of prop up as saying it's going to take the next step forward, then you have the issues that you do this season, and I know some of them have been injury-related. It's not a good look for the organization, and, you know, I think the fact that, you know, the attendance has dropped has been an issue for them as well. So this has been a difficult season for the Bulls on a lot of levels, and it's kind of going to be on them this offseason to address them.
KC, as well connected as you are around the league, as people descend into Chicago for this weekend, and you talk to a lot of your peers, a lot of people around the league, whether it's executives or former players, anything stand out in terms of their perception of the Bulls that surprises you, or is it as kind of what you just alluded to, is that people know what the situation is, it's just a matter of riding the season out and then seeing what happens next?
I think one thing that jumps out is just the question I get a lot of places is what happened to Lauri Markkanen? That's kind of the league-wide perception. I mean, I think everybody saw the February that he had last year, and, you know, obviously the talent that he has, and obviously the matchup nightmare that he can be. And that's probably the first question I get from basically anyone that I when I go around the league: what happened to Lauri Markkanen? And I think his issues have been pretty well documented as well. I think part of it is he has struggled to adjust to Jim Boylan's system, offensive philosophy. I think the aspects of his personality that, you know, drive him to be a team first player and kind of a unselfish player at times kind of combined with the philosophy to paint a bad mix. And now obviously he's injured as well. So this has been a season of regression for Lowry and obviously for the Bulls as well. And that'd probably be the biggest national perspective that I get when I go around the league.
Do you guys think Lowry would be different if the coach and the system were different? I get that question all the time. Are we seeing a guy who would be struggling no matter what, or if he was set up in a different way, would we see a more developed player?
I mean, I don't want to put it all in the system because, you know, the player has to take some responsibility as well. I mean, it's been pretty well documented how many open shots he missed at the start of the season. You know, he did not play well at the start of the season. He'll be the first to tell you that. I think it's been a combination of factors from there. I do know for a fact. I mean, John Paxson said it the day of the trade deadline is, you know, we're aware of his usage, and it's something we talked to the coaching staff about. So it's not like the organization's not aware of it either. So I think when Lowry gets back and up and running after the break, whenever that is, I think you'll see him utilize different. He is at his best when he's on the move. He's not a stationary three-point shooter. That's just not who he is. He's a mobile, agile matchup nightmare who's at his best when he's in, you know, running the wing in transition or getting the ball off a screen and on the move or attacking down low, you know, with that one-legged fadeaway. So they've got to get him doing more than just standing behind the three-point line because that's not a good look for him or for the Bulls.
So, KC, is there a Hall of Fame announcement coming up soon? Any surprises along the way? What do you expect from this class?
Well, obviously, it's one of the best in NBA history. Obviously, the awful story of Kobe Bryant's, you know, situation and passing is just going to add a very emotional and impactful level to it. But, it already was going to be lining up as one of the greatest classes in NBA history. They announced the direct elects today and then the finalists as well. So I'm here at the United Center now. It's always a cool event. There's so much royalty around. I just bumped into Isaiah Thomas in the hallway. Jerry Colangelo is here, obviously. So not only a lot of big name and, you know, Hall of Fame people, but also Chicago people. So pretty cool that it's happening here at the United Center.
You know, KG, a lock, right? Kevin Garnett on this. And it's what? I think it's 25 years since the season that Garnett had at Farragut here in town. And just, you guys remember the craziness of that? KC, did you get a chance to see him when he was playing at Farragut here in high school?
I covered that classic game between him and Ty Streets in Champaign, Illinois, baby. That was back in my high school days, man. I was at that game with Bob Sakamoto from the Chicago Tribune, man. So Ty Streets and Thornton beat him. There were like eight future pros on the court, most of them NFL players. Antoine Randall-El was in that game. I saw him play multiple times, including the game that ended his high school career.
We all become jaded, KC, covering pro sports for a long time. We all kind of get used to things. Have you seen anybody yet this weekend that is, or do you expect to see anybody that is still very cool for you to run into?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let's see. Well, I will say that the years when I ran into Wynn Butler at the celebrity games at All-Star Weekend, I usually had a jaw-dropping moment. Is that Matt Spiegel will get that, but no, I'm not sure anybody else will.
That's appreciated, that's for sure. And I know that's where your heart lies. That's understandable. Well, I mean, Chance the Rapper and Common are your captains tonight for the celebrity game. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not the same without Arnie Duncan and Wynn Butler, but hey, call me old folks.
Casey's an Arcade Fire guy, folks, a deep Arcade Fire guy. Yeah, I want to go back to this thought about, like, Garnett in high school, and you're mentioning that game and the frenzy of it, and, you know, Patrick Beverley's in town for the Skills Challenge, and you know, Dwayne Wade is on TNT all the time these days. We got all these incredible Chicago players, and yet the Bulls are where they are. Is there any way, and I guess I'm asking you, Kendall, and you, KC, is there any way to kind of reconnect the Bulls with this legacy of high school excellence in this town and the surrounding areas in a way that can help the organization kind of reclaim some identity, if you follow me here?
Kendall, you going to take that one? I covered you in the 03-04 season, Rich Central Star for the Bulls. Come on, man.
You did. And I remember you doing the pizza diet or something like that in the trip. So I think that, you know, there's a wealth of talent here in the Chicagoland area. In order for the Bulls to reconnect, I think that you have to, in my opinion, you got to bring back some of those stars to your franchise. You know, like, that's why I was an advocate of bringing Derrick Rose back.
Right.
You know, because I think that if you bring Derrick Rose back, then you rebuild the relationship not only with Derrick but with the fans that supported him. You know, and you know, you got to let kids know in this city that it's okay to play for your hometown team. Mm. You know, I came back here for 1 year. It was my dream to play for the Bulls. You know, I wish I could have played more years for this franchise. But I was very happy to put on that Bulls uniform just for a season. I mean, that means a lot, especially you growing up in this city and seeing the Bulls on TV all the time. And you know, I grew up watching Michael came when I was in high school, but I grew up watching Norm Van Leer, Artis Gilmore, Reggie Theus. I used to have my dad cut my hair like Reggie Theus. You know, say, I want the Reggie Theus haircut. So, you know, the Bulls franchise means so much to all of the up-and-coming basketball players in this city that I still feel that the franchise has to reach out back to those stars that are still in the league. You know, maybe bring them back for the last leg of their career, something like that. That's the way I believe you stay connected.
What do you think, KC? I mean, the last couple times we've had locals in that sense. With Derrick, it ended kind of ugly. With Dwayne Wade, it ended kind of ugly. But should that still be the mindset, to try and do that every once in a while and try and reconnect that way? You want Anthony Davis to want to be here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And that's what, you know, John Paxson has stated that is when they traded for Otto Porter Jr., that was their free agency foray because they knew that they were not going to be able to attract the big-name guys. I thought that was a pretty astonishing public admission by a team official. And, you know, the plan was to get back to relevancy, and that was the plan this season, and obviously it's not working. So the Bulls are in a tough spot. I mean, they had momentum going into the season. I think there was some genuine optimism going into the season surrounding the rebuild. And as I've mentioned many times now in this hit, it's underwhelmed on every level. So, you know, they've got a lot of work to do. I also, as Kendall knows, was under the auspices of bringing Derrick back. I wrote it when I worked for the Chicago Tribune in December. I think that would have solved a couple.
I had to convince a lot of people.
Yeah, you did.
I was barking at the Derrick Rose tree for a long time, man.
Well, I just did it for basketball. I mean, the crazy part about that story to me is that I think he would have solved not only the basketball issues, but some of the marketing and under, you know, the relevancy issues, because you try these other homecomings with Dwayne Wade and Jabari and they didn't work as well. But Derrick, I mean, he's become a story of redemption that everybody can hold on to. And obviously he's also playing at a very high level. So not only would I think he'd be helping the product on the basketball court, he'd be putting butts in the seats too. So, you know, that didn't work out. I understand from their perspective why they didn't want to do it. They had a lot of history with Derek and obviously chose to move on from when they traded him. So it's certainly disappointing when a player of Anthony Davis's stature from the city and the connection and calling Chicago the Mecca of basketball, you know, as of now, it doesn't look like he's in the works to come here or has much desire to come here. And that's where the Bulls have to get back to. It's a destination franchise and one that has relevancy again. And that was their publicly stated plan. And the season has challenged that plan, no doubt.
KC, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend, and thanks for the time.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Take it easy. See you.
You got it. It's KC Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago. Yeah, kind of have to do some of those creative things to try and get back to being discussed and being discussed in a positive way.
See, and let me ask you guys this question, because this is what I always thought when I was advocating for Derek. If Derek Rose is on this team now or was on this team last mm-hmm. year, does Anthony Davis think about coming here?
That's a great question, because I think that if Derrick Rose had come to the Bulls, and I wasn't as behind it as you guys were, certainly nobody was behind it as much as you were, Kendall.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthony Davis probably looks at that and says, well, that's a path nobody thought he would take back to Chicago.
Hmm.
And even though Anthony Davis had been on record as saying he didn't really think he was going to do that, mm-hmm. maybe he would reconsider. Maybe that
would be
know, opening the door a crack to a guy who had he decided, boy, can you imagine that if Anthony Davis was legitimately out there on the open market and the Bulls had a shot to get him.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And he's not, if it's not even under consideration right now, and if any part of it is the way that Derek felt and how ugly it was on the way out, I mean, this is modern sports. This is what you do, is you find a way. We saw, you know, as the White Sox tried to get Manny Machado last year, as all these different organizations in every sport do what they have to do to recruit. Remember, we were mad at Derek because he wasn't recruiting back then in the summer of LeBron and all that stuff. But right now, if that's what the Bulls had to do, I think they tried it with Dwayne. Don't you think that was part of the thought process? Well, let's mend some fences here with Dwayne, because Dwayne wasn't happy with the Bulls for a long time. So they tried to do it that way. It just didn't go very well.
Kendall, you can speak to this, though. Anthony Davis is in a position now, though, where it has a lot to do with winning and where he is and their ability to maybe win multiple championships in a row, you know, in Los Angeles with LeBron and as long as he can. So that's going to be something that, no matter how sentimental he might have gotten or maybe how much he might have considered returning home, there's that chance to be a dynasty with the Lakers.
It is a chance to be a dynasty, but I still think if you have Rose here, he's still a top-level player. Anthony Davis goes, hey, listen, if I come to Chicago and we get a couple more pieces, then maybe we may be able to challenge Milwaukee. We may be able to challenge the Bostons. And from that, and I can tell you this from my experience, that whenever I became a free agent, I always looked at the guys that they had, whether I could win with those guys, you know. And that, I can tell you, that's what top level free agents look for. They look for guys that can help them win.
And the thing is, when we're talking about guys of that stature, or guys that believe they're of that stature, you know, they want to carve out their own legacy and be the guy that did X. You know, somebody wants. Jimmy Butler wanted to be the man for a team somewhere, and he got it, and he didn't like Minnesota and didn't like Philly because it wasn't his. Now it's his, and Miami's doing pretty well. They need to sell somebody on this idea of you're the guy to do it and not fear Jordan and the legacy. Kobe wanted it.
He did. He
right?
Did.
Kobe, and maybe they missed that chance. Obviously, there, like, Kobe was not afraid of it.
Right.
Somebody, and maybe it's AD, or somebody's going to say, all right, I'll take on that. I'll take on that, and look what will happen to me if I'm the guy to get that done.
Kendall, we have to ask you, though. So we talk about the mindset of free agents. So it's 2003, and you talked about always wanting to play for the Chicago Bulls and put that uniform on.
Yeah.
You played 56 games that year, started 35. What do you remember about that season, 2003-2004? You averaged 9.6 points a game. That's pretty good for a 35-year-old.
Yeah, and actually I was injured. You know, and here's the crazy thing, man. I got injured training. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen those platform shoes that you use to jump high.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tried those when I was 34 years old, and I'm out on the football field at Marion Catholic, out in the south suburbs, training before the season, and I had micro tears in my Achilles tendon. So I was playing the whole year injured, And, you know, the reason why I was so excited to come here is because, one, I thought that this team was ready to take off. They had Jalen Rose. They had Jamal Crawford. We just drafted Kirk Heinrich. Scotty was coming back. You had Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler. I said, that's a great mix of young players and veterans. And also, I'm friends with Bill Cartwright. I played with him for 1 year in Seattle. Got to know him. I looked up to him. You know, I looked up to Bill like he was a big brother. You know, but unfortunately, it just didn't work out. Also, they were playing the triangle offense, which I thought I was built for the triangle offense after having played for against it so many years. But, you know, I actually regretted that I was hurt because I think if I was healthy, I could have helped that team a lot more than I did.
He's Kendall Gill. I'm Matt Spiegel. That's David Hall. We are McNeil and Parkins today. We are live at Bandit, 841 West Randolph here on the back patio. Bandit is offering $20 beer coolers, six beers all weekend for 20 beans. Mix and match with your choice of Budweiser, Bud Light, and Bud Seltzers. Also, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the NBA All-Star Skills Challenge featuring the three-point and slam dunk contest. Going to draw a winner at 6 p.m. Have to be present to win. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Lots more to come on 670 The Score, including Elgin Baylor, the legendary Elgin Baylor. He'll be on the show next. Right here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.